And we have two short readings, and the first one is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And our second reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, beginning at verse 12. Then Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Kathleen, prior to her relatively recent move to a nursing home in Crewe, had always lived in Knutsford. And her parents, Agnes and Edgar, were also Knutsfordians. And it's in Knutsford at Tabley Cemetery where her body will be laid to rest later, close to her brother Norman's grave. The premature death of her father, who was an engineer in the army when she was only five, perhaps contributed to the way things would work out in what would be a challenging life for Kathleen. But Kathleen's life was always faced with courage, gratitude, dignity, and gentleness. Kathleen was the last remaining of her siblings to live. She was the youngest of five children. Although her father, Edgar, died in 1940, aged 40, her mother, Agnes, would live as a widow for some 44 years, living to a good old age of 89, as indeed Kathleen has managed to, living to her 89th year. Though there were one or two close shaves along the way. When I went to Leighton Hospital a few months ago and was with Darren at the bedside, and it had been suggested and requested by the nursing staff that prayers of commendation should be offered, Kathleen obviously decided it wasn't time and stayed with us for a good while longer. Kathleen, I've discovered, though filled with the utmost humility, had a great sense of timing, of arrival, or in this case, departure. Ascension Day was the day of her passing. It seemed a good time for her to make her departure from us to a better place. Ascension Day, of course, the day we remember when Jesus returned to his Father. Even during the prayers at our midweek communion this week, I was praying, and I'm just about to pray for Kathleen and the family, and the door opens and the flowers arrive. For the arrangement which has been so kindly provided. And it just brought a smile to my face. Kathleen was a mother. Michael, Julie and Darren are the three children from her marriage to Alfred, who was a mechanic. And though resident in this parish, she was married at St. John's in the town centre, where I understood she worshipped at the time, and since then came to be part of the family here at St. Cross. And she leaves behind two grandchildren, Nicola and Ashley, and three great-grandchildren, Daniel, Holly and Sophie. And many of those are living abroad now. Now, in her working life, Kathleen was a nurse, which was a profession, or rather a vocation, which gave her great fulfillment. In the simple lifestyle she lived, which for much of her life was spent living at Low Drive in Knutsford, Kathleen's main concern was to ensure that others were happy and content. She was happy when others were happy. And she couldn't afford many luxuries for herself. She didn't have many hobbies or go on holidays. She didn't learn to drive. But she was always profoundly content with what she had. And supremely generous with the little that she had. Hence the reading from the Gospel today. She did have a great love for nature. She enjoyed cultivating seedlings in her greenhouse. Her love for colourful flowers extended beyond the garden into this church, where she was a regular, generous supporter of the flower fund here at those special times of the church year. And the provision of the arrangement of this flower arrangement today has been met with the same generosity in her memory. She loved to watch the football and tennis on the TV, and especially loved watching England in the big tournaments. But the life of the church was a huge aspect of Kathleen's life. A deep faith with a simple approach, but she had a profound understanding of what living the gospel means, what Jesus asks of us. And when I was thinking about the readings, yes, we settled on that reading about the poor widow, but it was so difficult to decide which one, actually, because there were so many gospel readings I could think of that resonated so closely to Kathleen as a person. We think of the Beatitudes, some of those teachings that Jesus gave. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And then we thought about the parable of the Good Samaritan. That remarkable parable from Jesus where he spoke of the unexpected. The person least likely to help bound up the wounds of the man who'd been beaten on the road, put him on his own animal and took him to an inn and said to the innkeeper, "Here's the money. Take care of this person. And when I come back, if there's anything to settle, I'll make sure you're put right then." Or perhaps we'd think of a resurrection story. John's Gospel. For those who were present on Easter Day in this church about 5 years ago, perhaps you may recall that moment when we're singing the gradual hymn, "The Day of Resurrection." And as we're singing, the door opens and in comes Kathleen on the wheelchair with Julie and John. And I remember the joy on people's faces as she came through the door. Just in time for the gospel reading and sermon. But Darren and I settled on this reading from Mark's gospel you've heard today because it really sums up in a nutshell the boundless generosity that Kathleen had. She gave without counting the cost. And you'll recall from that lesson that was read about the gifts of the Spirit, that generosity is one of the gifts of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul wrote about. But, and I encourage you, please take your books home and ponder these readings in the days and weeks to come. Look at those 9 gifts listed. And tell me if Kathleen was missing any. I don't think she was. She ticked every box. She was Holy Spirit filled. But what people say to me time and time again is how generous she was. In fact, I had to gently remind her on occasions that she must not neglect to love herself too, which she found extremely difficult. Noting that on one occasion she told a parishioner she'd given her checkbook to Jesus. Well, she might have given the checkbook to him, but that's the easy bit, giving the checkbook. The harder bit is actually signing the check, which she would always do with a grateful heart. And another great example of that generosity came in 2012 when it came to the attention of the Knutsford Guardian that she'd been providing the bin men on her round with tea, biscuits, salmon and chicken sandwiches for 40 years. Wow. I bet her bins were always returned neatly. And the date of that article, ironically, May the 9th, 2012. The date of her passing to glory 12 years later. And the newspaper says she wanted to give them a rest and an energy boost to make the refuse collectors feel valued members of the community. When taking her home communion prior to her leaving Knutsford, I knew I had to make sure the car boot was empty before I went, because I would be returning loaded up with trays of rice puddings, custard, baked beans, tinned potatoes, etc., etc., for the food bank. She loved knitting, which included helping to make patchwork blankets to be sent to Africa. And to support the craft group, she sent wool for their projects, which included making clothes for prematurely born babies. And I do remember a delivery coming to the vicarage of some rather large bags of knitting wool, and we still have one full bag in our loft waiting to be used. It was a generosity that just overflowed. Nothing held back. A thank you was sent to her from the group. The gift of a knitted blanket with a golden cross was given, and I know that she loved and treasured that gift. In later years, her physical limitations did not stop her contribution. A parishioner would give her a prayer topic every week to think about and to pray over for the needs of the world, the church, and the community. She loved to pray for all visitors. And when I visited, it very much felt like the ministry was actually mutual. In fact, sometimes I wondered who the vicar was, because she always insisted on blessing me as I left. One reason we have the Gospels is to inform us what God is like, personified in the person of Jesus. And Scripture was at the heart of Kath's learning. Her Bible was battered and worn, pages curling from repeated use, a book that had been read over and over and over again. And not just read, but inwardly digested and then put into action. The Bible is with her body now, placed in the coffin, as well as her favourite teddy, which she loved to cuddle. My message today, has not really delved into the detail of the readings, nor does it need to. The words of the readings are sufficient, and Kathleen is the sermon. Her life lived, an inspirational and devoted witness for Christ. I don't know if there is a hierarchy in heaven. Paul wrote of being all gathered in Christ, one in Christ. But in the Gospels, Jesus did speak of the first being last and the last being first. Kathleen always put herself last and Jesus first. So it seems to me that in eternity, she is very close to him now. Even closer than when she lived among us here. Because, quoting Matthew's Gospel, she stored up her treasure, not on earth, but in heaven, where neither moth nor rust could consume, nor thief break in and steal. In a little while we'll sing another wonderful hymn, O Jesus, I have promised. And that fourth verse says, O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee, that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. Where is heaven? You might ask. Where is heaven? The simplest answer is that heaven is where Jesus is. And that's all we need to know. Heaven is where Jesus is. And I have every confidence that Kathleen is there with him. The prayers we say today are to help us as much as anyone. We can be assured that she's with him now. She's released from the pain and the suffering she had to deal with, the limitations in life that she lived with. She's free from all that. She had a life filled with grace and gratitude, and now she's praising her Saviour constantly. But look back at Kathleen's life, and to quote the Apostle Paul once again from Thessalonians, she was rejoicing always, prayed without ceasing, and she gave thanks in all circumstances. Praise God for Kathleen. Amen.